So, hello everybody. My name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And you are now watching
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all.
So welcome back, everybody, where we're keeping you fresh in a world of mist.
And helping us feel better together, because Lord knows we need it.
We especially need it now. We need it now more than we've ever needed anything in our entire life. But glad you all are here. Friend, how's your week been?
My week has been pretty good, actually. I graduate my onboarding tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So hopefully all works out there well. I'm starting to feel comfortable with everything, so you know, it's cool. It's cool. That's all I can really say. Home is home. I cut my daughter's dreads off and she wanted to start her hair over, so that was interesting.
How's she feeling?
I think she's having mixed emotions now, but you know,
where'd she get that from?
Listen, because I'll cut my shit off. I'll cut it off. I don't care nothing about no hair.
But it looks good every time.
I, you know what? I'm starting to think I like myself more with shorter hair. So either shorter hair or like when I actually have my hair long enough to braid, because I also like the way my face looks with the cornrows. Okay. I don't like the way my face looks with an afro. I immediately turn into Professor Clump. It is Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Absolutely not. No, man. We ain't doing none of that. Absolutely not. Oh,
does
no.
it matter if you
it's sugar.
I'm just waiting to find my Janet Jackson.
Sugar. Sugar. Why?
I look just like, do you remember how he was running when he was on the first movie, when he was late to class, that shuffle run that he was?
Yes.
Listen, my life. But yeah, home is home. Other than that, as far as TV, I really haven't been watching anything new other than what I had mentioned before. Matter of fact, y'all, if y'all have any recommendations, again, come talk to us or talk to Atticus, because he be in there more than I do, in the Discord. I'll pop in and like a comment or something and get the hell out. I'm back on my, I'm tired of social media tangent again, so whatever there. But yeah, shoot me some recommendations. Like, as long as the story is good, I'll pretty much watch anything. Also, as long as I see some of us in it too. But yeah, I'm open to a lot of different stuff. But for me, it's just been the same. Now, music. Music, I got a couple of different things, right? So music, we have two groups. One is a group that I know a lot of people already know of, which is The Internet. They don't have anything new, but I've just been revisiting their old stuff, and I really love their music. I'm ready for them to come out with another album. And then in
they have
the
been really quiet.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from The Internet since, like, I think 2019, maybe?
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute. Now, each individual has had, like, I know Steve Lacy had his own drop. Sid had her own drop. So, like, they've been doing stuff. And, of course, they work on other people's projects. But, like, I need y'all to come together and do another album together, please. If y'all are still together. So I found another group. Very groovy into them, named Cruza. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Cruza. And that's just been a vibe to listen to. And then this guy named Boy Soda, which makes very trippy sound of music, of course, things that I'm into. And then lastly, I want to give a shout out to Jermaine Cole. J. Cole dropped a song called, I think it's what, yeah, Clouds. I'm glad he's back to rapping. I'm glad he's back to rapping. I mean, which he never, he, so, I've already talked about the whole Port San Antonio thing, whatever it's called, Port Antonio, I can't remember. My, not beef with it, because I didn't really have beef, it wasn't that serious to have beef with it, but it was just like, I never took anything away from Cole's rapping ability ever, ever. Now, Cole said some problematic shit before, plenty of times.
They all have, to be honest.
I don't know how he feels about the community, because he didn't took a jab at us in a couple of different ways. But that being said, overall, a rapper, his flow, his cadence, I cannot take that away from Cole. And Clouds was no exception. He went crazy from the moment he opened his mouth, his message to the beat, just production. I enjoyed the hell out of this song. But as far as like the whole Port in, or Saint Anton, whatever the name that shit was, my only quarrel with it was like, what you did was admirable, right? Like you said, you know what? K-Dot is my brother. I don't want no smoke. I don't want no beef. I'm not in this shit. But then to turn around and be like, if I had a got in it, you could have kept that.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. That was the whole thing with him and why everybody was upset with him is because he like got in and got out and then came back and said, if I had...
Right.
It was never a question of his skill. It was just kind of like a loss of respect thing a little bit because of how it happened.
If somebody's questioning J. Cole's skill, they're not listening to him rap. That's just my personal opinion. People can say what they want to say. I know people don't, they're not always a fan of him. That's cool. Cole can rap, and he's a phenomenal storyteller. That's like one of my favorite types of rap is people like, I love the entendres. I love the metaphors. But I love a good storyteller, too. Like, that's one of the things that made me fall in love with Kendrick is a good story. Like, Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. That song made me cry. Kendrick has had a song on almost every album that's made me emotional. Like, physically, it brought me to tears because of the storytelling. And Cole also possesses that ability to just be a really good storyteller. And his rap, his flow is crazy. So I've been bumping the hell out of this song. But yeah, I feel like that was the same. I feel like my genuine thought on it is that of many, is that like, you could have just kept that. Like if you wanted to be, you could have went in if you wanted to. Right. You could have went in if you wanted to go in, but you decided not to. And you decided that, you know, your friendship was worth more than that, which like I told you in a couple of other episodes before we talked about this before, I don't think them shots was necessarily aimed at Cole anyways. So, like, I'm pretty sure Cole and Kendrick had a conversation like, bro, go ahead and fall out of this. This ain't got nothing to do with you. But if y'all have not heard it, please listen to it. Because my boy said, hold on. Now, y'all can say I'm soft, and you can say I'm... a dreadhead Buddha. You can say anything you want to. But y'all not finna say I can't rap. Because he came in there and I'm talking, whew. But yeah.
Okay, and did what needed to be done.
Very much so. And some extra. He did what needed to be done and he did extra credit. The song is yeah. I was like, okay, Cole, this is what we needed. But yeah, that's
one bit.
I love, if you gonna rap, I love a good rapper. So like, it was good to see him like step aside of the beef. That's what I liked a lot about GNX too. Like, it was a surprise album, but like Kendrick went back to the roots of what he does, LA rap. So like and there was not one song in there that I can think of that had like any Cole shots towards not Cole but Drake. Like, it was a straight up album that he made with his stuff. I honestly think he was done after Not Like Us. Now, Drake, don't do it. Please. He said game over. He's won. Okay. The world knows he won. Don't. Because I heard them little lines you had in your album. Sir, please. I actually, at this point, I don't want to talk about you anymore. That's one. Two, this, it will not end any better than it already has. For you. Like, this worst case scenario keeps happening. Let it go. You lost. And quickly, before I pass it over, I just want to say something because I've seen a couple of different TikToks. Also, shout out to TikTok. Whoever started that Megan trend for that, yeah. I can be your from my lesbian heart, I want to thank you. Because my God, today, I'm such a creep. I put that shit in like,
aren't we all?
0.5 speed and just woof.
Woof. Not 0.5 speed.
Woof. And just be sitting there. I be. Love to see it. I'm talking about ass. I forgot what I was on. Oh. Specific ass, too. Megan's ass is, woo! It's different.
She is perfect.
I did forget what I was going to say. It was a point that I was going to make about Drake. It was something I was going to say. It'll come back to me later.
It will.
And what was I going to say? Thank you, Megan. You just took it right away from me.
Forgot what the hell word supposed to sound like.
I did. All I could think of was,
I know what you mean. Just wanted to get a whiff of the wind.
Just, I can't actually say what I want to say.
Understood. This is a safe space.
It's not. Okay. Now we're back. Quickly. So I've seen a lot of people talk about like, oh, it wouldn't have been this serious if Drake had won. Are we talking about the same person? This nigga would have never let that go. He would have been insufferable. When I tell you, we would not have heard the end of it.
The prime example is when y'all thought y'all had one and y'all were just egging Chris. When y'all were just egging Kendrick on to drop when you thought you had one already.
Tell it.
That's a prime example. What was all over the internet when that was happening? Drop, drop, drop. Tell old boy to drop. He's scared.
He's scared.
Now he dropped. Now he dropped and you still on the ground.
He dropped, kicked your ass.
It dropped. Kick the shit that nigga out of hit you with a fucking Taken 8 move and you are still on the ground damn near a year later here.
Kendrick little self Chun Lee kicked that nigga in them tight ass pants.
Them pants was, they fit real nice. I'm just saying. This era of Kendrick just made me look at Kendrick a little bit different than I had looked at him before.
Kendrick has always been a cutie. Like, I don't know how y'all miss it. I mean, I wasn't looking at him like that, but like he's always been super adorable. I've always thought he was attractive just from a general scope. But yeah, been that's all I'm saying about it.
A little bit been different in these music videos here in this go round. And that performance was just, anywho, I'm going to stop being disrespectful.
It's all right. Listen, I had to stop myself with Megan because my God, today, listen.
It's like I ain't fine. Never seen.
Fine. When you got it, you got it. But
when you got it, you got it. Right. Yeah,
that's all I wanted
pop
to say.
Out and show. They got popped out. I showed everybody with the Levi jeans.
How's your week been, friend?
This week has been another good week. Another week trying to be a little bit more open to listening to people, not being so rigid with my time and my personal time. So just being a little bit more open in that way. Like you said, work is work. Home is home. May I say one thing? You can call me boring. You can call me whatever you want. I am so glad that I can sit here and say that home is home and there's not a whole lot going on here because, you know, you talk to people sometimes or even you just see stuff online. You'd be like, God damn, I'm so glad that I don't have to deal with some of this shit like at all. So with that being said, I'll continue to be greedy with my time in that way because I don't want nobody bringing no shit to my front door that I don't have to deal with.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I'm going to leave that one there. But thank you, Jesus. When it comes to music, honestly, okay, so who I was going to say last week, his name was Gold Ford, But Hope reminded me, she was like, bitch, I shouted him out like a month ago. And but listen, if you don't send them to me, I don't be remembering.
I'm gonna have to do that. You don't be sending them to me either. We literally will bring people up and then never talk about them again.
But again, this was just like a person that came up while I was playing or after my, he came up after my Beyonce playlist went off actually. And I guess he's technically like in the genre of country, but listening to that album, it didn't sound like a country album. It just sounded like an R&B album to me. It sounded like a bluesy, kind of like a Dillish type.
Yeah, like absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely gives like a bluesy something, or it don't give it typical country.
Yeah. It really doesn't. And I appreciated that because I've also talked about this with Hope. I'm not a super big fan of like country music and some of the instrumentals. Also, I don't listen to music a lot of the times to feel shit. I listen to it to get away from feeling shit. Which is why I listen to the type of music I listen to most of the time. But that is an awesome, 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 awesome album. Awesome voice. Voice is 10 out of 10.
Yes, God.
He is great. Another person I want to shout out that I've been listening to a lot this week is Coco Jones. So Coco Jones, first of all, I See You was a great song. I love that song. But I personally didn't like that song as much as I liked Here We Go. Okay. Here We Go is my shit. Like, I love that song. But she just recently did a take on Britney Spears' Toxic, which I just love Toxic in general. Like, if you're from our generation, bitch,
you're a Toxic Britney stan.
Was that girl. No matter, right, no matter who you are, everybody loved Britney Spears. I don't care what you say. Yeah. Toxic was that girl back when she came out. And she did her own take of Toxic, which is, in my opinion, 10 out of 10. One, because I love the song, and two, because I love Coco Jones. So there's that. I just wish her like so much more continued visibility and success, and just to keep being like greater. Also, if y'all haven't seen Bel-Air, the girl can act. She be acting her ass off. Like, I wasn't even making fun of you. I'm just saying you gotta watch it though, because Bel-Air.
I was gonna say you shady heifer.
I wasn't. I really wasn't, I promise. But Bel-Air, I'm just telling you, like her as good of a singer as she is and performer, her performance and acting is just as good. Like,
she's a Disney kid.
All around. She came after, you know, I was grown. I ain't watched Disney.
Yeah, same. When she
was on. But other than that, yeah, she is great. TV, the funny thing is, for whatever reason, I went back and watched that SWV versus Escape TV show that was, I literally had just finished watching the show the day before you sent me the song. And I guess she had just dropped the song. Was that yesterday?
It had to have been, apparently, because y'all know I don't listen. For y'all drag me, because I know some of y'all gonna drag me. I truly don't give a fuck. I don't listen to Chris Brown like that. I'm not gonna say I was not a Chris Brown fan at one point, because I was. But he's highly problematic, and even if he is trying to like change his stuff, I'm good on it now. I wish him the best if he's trying to do better. I do. I wish him the best. I'm not a hater. Never going to bring anybody down when they're trying to better themselves. But he's done enough for me to be like, nah, I'm good. But apparently this song is very popular. People are making covers of it. And that's how I found this video of her. Go ahead, friend.
So I just want to explain like a couple of things. If you follow them, which I feel like the elder gays like myself and even older kind of followed that whole scenario of what was going on. But in the show, you could see the whole time that she like had her solo deal that was about to happen, her gospel solo thing that was about to happen. And the group was trying to get back together. They were trying to do this tour with SWV. But from what was from how it appeared on the show, she was being very difficult in making that whole situation happen. Like, she didn't want to come to rehearsal. When they were in meetings and talking about it, she was very cold. They would ask her something, she just like, I don't know. Like, she just didn't care about it. And the stuff they were saying, they were like, the last time this motherfucker had a solo deal, everything was all good until her solo deal came. Then she started treating us like shit, kind of like she did in that show. And then when her sister exposed her, everything about her from that point forward kind of just felt, nothing felt genuine. Like, nothing she said, nothing she did felt like real. And even that song, when I was listening to it, like, it sounds good and the words she's saying is good. She can sing down. Can nobody take that from her, ever, no matter what she does. But even, like, looking at the video and just, like, mannerisms and stuff, and I'm like, okay, girl, whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm also somewhat cold myself and probably not forgiving of a lot of things, so I feel like I would just hear that and be like, girl, get the fuck out of my face. I've been trying to talk to you for years, but that's just my opinion.
That's my whole thing on it, friend, not to interrupt, but, like, literally, why didn't you just send this to your sister? Why didn't you just call your sister? Like, what was the point of this?
Thank you.
Other than clout.
Right.
I don't understand why you did this. I mean, maybe it's some artistic shit. I don't know. Maybe that's how you express yourself. I mean, I'm going to try to give you the benefit of the doubt here. But,
and then, like, there's the timing. Like, some of this stuff she's saying 2 years in the song, but some of this stuff we saw playing out on lives and on,
in real time,
like last year, I want to say, if I'm not mistaken. So it's sounding to me like, okay, everything else that fell apart, I need y'all back now. So that's what is given to me. But
I'm with you when you're right, friend.
Who are me? I just wanted to bring that up because I thought the time was funny. Like, how I watched this show and then this song come out, like, the next day. But, yeah. But that's been my week. It's been pretty good. Ain't really been a whole lot of TV or nothing else. But it's been pretty good.
Listen, I feel you on that when you said... It was like, when home is... Because that's what I'm going to tell y'all. Home is home. I'm not going to give you guys too much of my home life. I done already said that. I am very protective of my family. I'm very protective of my friends, but even more of my family. Like, I certain reindeer games, I'm not going to play with y'all.
As you should be.
And that just is what it is. But, like, the fact that, like, Addie said, I enjoy, bitch, I like being boring. Don't get me wrong. I like stepping out and having fun from time to time. I miss my friends back home. I'm trying to make new friends here. I'm making some new friends at work, which is cool. That's literally why I got a hybrid position, because I was like, I need to be around regular people again. But, like, girl, ain't nobody got time for half this shit y'all got going on. You go on Facebook. And let me tell LaKeisha, they put your whole name out there. LaKeisha Raiden Jackson, bitch, I know you was over there sleeping with my man. I know.
Oh my God.
But what he don't know is we used to fuck too, so fuck all y'all. And you'd be like, the fuck just. Hey, you the stupid motherfucker that done dropped her off over at the house. Now they over there shooting because you over there trying to help. No.
Friend.
No.
Before I got off of Facebook, somebody that I knew that I worked with was literally on live. Huh?
You got back off of Facebook?
Before I got off Facebook.
I'm saying you got back off?
No. I mean, I'm back off again from the last time I got off, but...
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know you was back off. Okay.
Yeah, no. I was on it for a reason. Once that reason was satisfied...
That's fair.
Girl, I ain't got no reason to be over there. But anyway... one of the people that I worked with was literally, like, going live trying to fight somebody. Like, I was like, wait a minute, what is going on? Why are you doing this on live, girl? They gonna let you go. You doing the most. Another thing. Maybe we can talk about this on a future episode, but I used to be, like, super free on social media. Because I didn't really, like, think of the things or the people that looked at your social media. But once I started working at a certain place and seeing how they operated, like how they would be literally in the office looking at your social media, talking about the stuff that you were doing, it kind of like, I was in shock a little bit because I didn't, up to that point, I didn't realize that this was something that happened. Like, your employers really do be looking at your social media.
Yeah.
They really are like judging you and the things that you do. So keep that in mind to the younger people, because y'all may not think it's that serious, but it really do be that serious, especially when you have a public profile. So
listen,
is that, and it's not just Facebook now. You got 18 other thousand platforms to find people on.
That's why I don't never put, and the only thing that I think my name may actually be under is Blue Sky.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing. And child, I don't be on there. I'm really debating deleting that.
Honestly, I don't delete it. I'm really not on it that often either.
It's kind of just an app that's floating around. Like, I'll get on there literally every once a week. And when I post stuff, it gets interactions. Like, I get interacted with, but it's just like, I just miss old school Twitter. It's good, but it's not old school Twitter. And that demon done fucked Twitter up, and it's not savageable anymore. So, like, and also
the dark entity.
Y'all feel free to judge me. I don't care. The porn isn't the same on Blue Sky.
It's very
weirdly
Caucasian.
Aggressive. We'll see. I don't know nothing about that.
I see a lot more lighter skinned pornography on Blue Sky than I did on Twitter.
I believe that
because a lot of you Negroes, the people are going to follow you wherever you go. Come to Blue Sky. They're going to come over to Blue Sky with you. All you got to do is post, hey, I'm going to Blue Sky.
And take your ass to Blue Sky. They already got that following. They not
already got the following. You're going to bring all them people with you. But you know why they ain't going nowhere? Because your ass is still over there in the fucking upside down.
Yeah, other than that white girl who threw her coochie on my face that one time in that video that I had sent you, that shit made me so mad. I was like, get the fuck out of
it. It gave very much, open your mouth. And it was just right there. It's like, oh my God. Cooch. Oh my God.
And I love it. Love it. Okay, connoisseur, if you will. I don't want that. But the stuff I be seeing, it just like, it be on like my regular Black Sky feed. I just open it up and it's a butthole right in my face. I'm like,
let me tell you what I do. First of all, I don't type in Black Sky no more, because y'all have to separate that, because we just want to find Black people to be on the feed. But when you type in Black Sky, all the shit pops up at once. And I like to keep like my feed clean, because if I open it in a public place, I don't want to like, you know.
My God. I'm sorry.
I don't want to have to be up against the wall when I open my Blue Sky. You get what I'm saying?
Because you had to with Twitter.
Like, you definitely had to with Twitter. Definitely had to.
Somebody send you something with Twitter, you have to text them back before you open it up. Is this safe with family?
Yes. What is this?
I got a print. What is going on? You open that. Oh my God. Whoa.
Right.
I'm at church. And Pastor, that sound like two men fucking. That's how you know
Pastor
what that
thought
like.
They was playing his recording. Anyway, when
And tell your husband to stop looking at my husband from across.
Oh my God.
That's on top shelf. That's on top.
Boy, a read.
Hey,
okay. Let's go ahead and get into the top shelf then. The White Refrigerator. Okay.
Woo!
Start us off with that one. First of all, I don't know the entire backstory.
I don't even know who this white woman is.
I've seen she's on one of those like right wing news stations that aren't really news stations. You know, like the one that man that got sued for everything.
And then, yes.
Yeah. She's on one of those type of like networks that aren't really networks. They're just there to spread propaganda. They're not, you know.
Misinformation, disinformation, just
disinformation galore.
Do not even, I don't even play them games anymore. Like, people are like, do you know? No, girl, I don't.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I was ready to, if I hadn't have got this story today, I would have been done, looked this up and had this ready for Top Shelf. I just want to talk about what Don Lemon said, because that.
That's how you, I bet she won't say his name, not name another time ever again.
And clearly it's something along that effect that's pissing her off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because why are you attacking this man? Because he, in the video, I think it was the one you sent me, he showed like a side-by-side of like all the time she never mentioned his name. Sis, it sounds like there's things in your closet that you need to get together. Maybe some people you need to take out.
Maybe you may, because your husband talk about Don Lemon all the time.
I'm just saying, there's some things in that closet that needs to come out. Because him saying, first of all, the clear was literally, sidebar, I feel like this also had something to do, like this somewhere, the anchor's been going at it, I've noticed that this week anyways, because they recently got rid of Joanne Reed from MSNBC. They doing some real sketchy shit there, and I just been like peeping some things out, but I didn't know this was like a whole thing going on over here. But whoever Megyn Kelly is, my good sis, no one warned you about the snapback of a gay man. Somebody should have warned you.
Oh, my bad. Allegedly.
He said, and tell your husband to stop looking at my husband.
Fred, tell your husband to stop looking at my husband from across the room, because across it's he's weird.
Watching, he's watching him.
What do you even say to that? I bet you she won't say Don Lemon name ever again. Ever.
You know what? They're bold, though, friend. She probably will. She probably will. And I hope she does, because he's going to clock her team. Because if her husband is doing some weird shit, which, I mean, ain't that weird. Nigga, you gay.
Right.
You're gay. Sir, you're fucking gay. Or bisexual.
Or bisexual.
At least. And that's okay, or pansexual, or whatever, however you are in that skittle of rainbows. But because y'all are such religious nutcases, and you can't be yourself, you do weird, creepy shit. But here's the thing, because we already saw that when Grindr blew y'all asses off.
I was just about to say, we see that every time there's a Republican convention of any kind, and Grindr has to turn on extra servers because y'all shut it the fuck down every time.
Grindr,
that's crazy.
Said, we've never
we've never had traffic like this.
Never had traffic like this. The tail is in the tail. Literally. There's something in the tail. Somebody's tail is getting
something is in somebody something about something, to be in somebody's something, tail, according to Grindr.
There's a tail.
It's some tailgating going on around there.
Yeah, tailgating. There's something going on. Don Lemon, in a professional gay man, basically said, bitch, don't make me air this bitch. Don't make me air this bitch out. Because, bitch, I will air this hoe out. And I will hurt your feelings. And my husband may know something about your husband. Because gays love receipts. Do you want receipts? Don't do it, sis. Don't do it. Go ahead and lay down. You lost. Take it from your other white sister, Drake. You lost. Y'all got to know how to lose. You got to know how to lose.
I'm not a receipt keeping gay.
Now, see, I'm a gay woman, but I am a receipt keeping gay. You would think I was a game. Here's the thing about my exes and why they don't play with me, especially the ones that play straight girl or whatever. Or you might have been curious. If you ever come across and say some stupid shit, just know I don't delete text messages, bitch. If I scroll through my phone right now, half my data and memory is going to be text messages. That's a dumb game to play. That's
crazy.
My iCloud is lit up. Don't do it.
Bitch, I got shit from 2012. Absolutely not.
I'm pulling up that picture of your butthole that you sent me from 2013 when you put your whole cooch in my phone. Do not play with me. But you know what? I'm not that petty anymore. Like, I truly don't give a fuck. People think I'd be upset with him, and I don't. It is people right now who think I have beef with them, and I'm like,
you got baby, I'm trying yourself, to. Child.
Right. I'm trying to figure out, like, how I'm finna do whatever I'm finna do next. You haven't been a thought in my mind in God knows how long.
It's crazy how, like, soon you can forget somebody in somebody's name. That is insane to me. And the reason I say I'm not like a receipt keeper, because I don't be wanting to see stuff with people I done dealt with, especially if it didn't end good. Like, I will delete your contact, block the number. That way I can't remember what the number was and you can't contact me. Does that like make any sense? So that way I can't double back and unblock your number because I don't remember what it was in the first place now. So, yeah, I don't want to talk to you ever again.
It's really that simple.
Actually, yeah.
Like, I just don't want.
So, the pictures I got of you, baby, it's safe. They gone.
And it probably wasn't even no beef. A lot of the beef people that they be having is one-sided. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no real beef. Zebra meat at best, but not no real beef.
I'm going to start saying that for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. And if y'all still don't get it, y'all got to find the zebra meat man on TikTok. Please. All I'm saying is I would try the zebra meat. Cope won't. But she said it's not beef. Zebra meat at best. Bitch.
I'm just saying.
I'm using that for the rest of my life. this ain't beef, bitch. This is emu. I'm going to use every animal.
Penguin. Girl. This bird don't even fly, bitch.
This is not beef. This is ostrich.
Go play where you're safe.
What are we doing? Please.
But, yeah. For Megyn Kelly, absolute. Go play where it's safe. Because you was about to get your world turned upside down real fast. You probably already did. You went and looked through your husband's computer. You opened up his MacBook and cried because you seen what's that the gay dude? See, I shouldn't even know these people names, y'all. But whoever that Cody dude is, every time I see white porn, I see that Cody dude's name.
I think that's a studio. I don't think that's an actual person.
Yeah. It's a studio name. You opened it up and you seen that. And
well, friend, you went way back. I don't even think they make stuff no more.
Listen, friend, y'all, I be watching everything. I'm freaking nasty for real. I be watching everything.
Wow, you really did go back.
Or Blue Cody, something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, you went in that was like white man mecha porn. Like, you went in there.
Yep.
I don't know what their version of Yes King is. Come on. Brody, yeah,
it's definitely bro and aggressive.
Yeah, I could do without. Yeah. next, this has been the funniest shit. And Atticus said he knows more of the backstory on this, so I'm gonna let him take this part Top Chef over. But why Soulja Boy and Marlon Wayans is beefing? I don't know, but it's hilarious to me. And he picked the worst Wayne's brother to beef with.
Child, let me tell you the people I would not ever beef with in this world. Actually, I'm not finna beef with nobody online. I'm not gonna do that ever. Because what did whatchamacallit say? When you pick fights with people, be careful when you pick fights with people. She said that. She may not have taken her own advice, but she said it, and I'm going to listen to that, because I done seen a bunch of people pick fights with people they should not have, and it backfired.
Got to ask tremendously.
So I don't know why they're fighting, but the people I would never beef with, number one on this list is 50 Cent. I would not ever in my life beef with this nigga. Actually, would probably be hesitant to even talk to him, actually, in real life. And the off chance that the motherfucker might get mad at me and just decide to ruin the rest of my life.
After he pulled his loser shit he did recently,
it was kind of gross.
It was.
Any comedian, period. Any comedian, especially one I know funny as fuck. Cat Williams, absolutely not. I'm deleting all of my social media. Deleting everything. Matter of fact, at that point, I'll just be in a producer role on the podcast and we'll get somebody else to fill in for me. I'm not going to be.
No, we got
to
shut it off at that point, because I'm not doing it with nobody else.
I would disappear from life at that point.
Friend, you would never have to worry about that, because I can hang. There's a few that I wouldn't tango with, but I can hang.
We don't need to hang with none of them. The reason I say that is because the motherfuckers is relentless. I'm like, damn, I'm tired. Let it go.
Only person I would never try is Tia Kemp, just because her wordplay is absolutely insane.
It is crazy. It is crazy. Yeah, no, not doing it. Or T.S. Madison. Because let me tell you this.
I love Maddie too much for that.
I don't see T.S. Madison go after people. Like, you don't see her beefing actively a lot. But when she does it, my God, today is she trying to make you jump off a building.
Nah, bitch, that is beef. Hers is Angus. Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Angus, straight from the state of Texas. Bitch,
that's Wagyu. What they say? Right. Is that how you say it? Wagyu?
Wagyu, prime beef. The thing is, Maddie ain't going to start it, but Maddie going to finish it.
Every time. Every single time. But that is absolutely one I'll never start with. I don't know why they're beefing, but if y'all have not heard the Marlon Wayne song for Soulja Boy, please, 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 if you want a good laugh, you're going to laugh until your fucking head hurt. Please go watch that, and you're going to have a great night's sleep afterwards, I promise. Please. Please.
No, he said he could smell crack on his breath. Marlon is, to me at least, Marlon and Damon were the funniest Waynes. Shout out to Keenan and Sean and Kim. I love Kim down too.
Yeah, she was funny as fuck.
And then they got a niece. What's her name? I think it's Chantel. She funny as hell. All of them look alike, literally. Like, y'all just all carbon copies of each other. Y'all got strong ass genetics.
They fine, Lord.
All of them. Shout out to all of them. But what I tell you, you picked the worst one. This nigga still do stand-up comedy. Why would you And that song is the funniest shit.
Yes.
First of all, is this AI?
I don't know. Did you literally hire a country singer to sing this fucking song for you? Or is this all AI? Either way, my God, today. And when I came across it, I was like, a friend, Marlon Wayans and Soulja Boy beefing, like, how did this even happen? This seems like the oddest thing to ever.
What to happened, ever though? Happen like, how that. Did you find out, like, how this started, or?
No, I didn't look into that. The part I had a little bit more information on was the tour, that it wasn't about this part.
What tour?
Anita.
Yeah. What happened with Aubrey and his tour?
Okay, so everybody knows that the tour got canceled now, or postponed indefinitely. So you will, of course, have people come out online and say that that was because of low ticket sales, which it very well could have been, because I don't know what that looked like. But what's the girl that's on? I think she's on The Breakfast Club.
Just Hilarious?
Her. No, not her.
The other new girl. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. She was saying that she'd spoken with someone on the team And she's been very reliable in like her sources of information. And what she was saying was there was some type of logistical thing that happened later, happened in the later parts of the tour dates, where it would have caused them to like be somewhere for an extended period of time, like 10 or 12 days or something, without performing. And the way she explained it, like, you know, that's a lot of overhead. You got all your people that you still got to pay for all this time that y'all ain't making no money at all. So it didn't make sense. But the thing that struck out to me was like, if that's the case, then why not just cancel like those specific dates later in the tour and continue with the rest of it? So that gives a little bit more credence to the fact that maybe ticket sales weren't what they expected to be. There's also, I don't know if you've seen this, it looks like he done filed some more stuff about how UMG did him wrong. And hold on, how they even further perpetuated this slander by having it performed at the Super Bowl. So he really ain't stopping. He really ain't stopping. I'm like, he going all in on this. He gonna go into this until it ain't nothing left. I'm like, okay. You stick with it, brother. You fight for what you believe in.
And this is old money. UMG is like one of the first. UMG, Sony, is Capitol Records under either one of them? I can't remember. But I know like those three have been around for at least like dead ass like 100 years, if not longer. I
literally think that those are the only three, if I'm not mistaken, of the like actual big music companies. And I think they literally own every other like record label.
They literally like Sony, all the Universal, major ones you hear, like Interscope and all, they're under UMG and all of them. So like, bro, you are you're going against a beast. We're talking conglomerate. You're going against a giant. Like I said earlier, I seen the TikToks of people being like, okay, Kendrick's just being mean now. Kendrick hadn't done anything.
He hadn't done anything to anybody.
And then, like I said, we talked about it last week about like how the timeline actually happened and how Drake was literally a bitch about the whole situation and was the one, he was the one who actually started it because it was a friendly fade. It was just rappers sparring, talking shit. That's what they do. That's what they've always done. And you took it and then you start talking all out your neck and ass. Okay. This man let this shit ride for years. Y'all been taking like little subtle jabs at each other, but finally he was fed the fuck up and came at your neck. But I say all that to say, like, y'all, I saw those TikToks and people, you know, this is too much now and Drake would never do this again. I just know we can't be talking about the same person, because the way he would have never shut the fuck up, he would have called Kendrick all kind of slaves and Kenta Kuntes and people don't want to hear. He already said he rapped like you're trying to free the slaves.
To what does this that mean? Day.
Drake, what does that mean? Kendrick raps like he's trying to free the slaves.
You rap like an original Negro.
What does that mean?
It means
Right. Like, bro, you're Canadian. You probably shouldn't say that. You're biracial and you was raised by your white mama. You probably shouldn't say that. I don't want to hear y'all say that stupid shit no more, because the way we never, ever, he would have been insufferable. We never would have heard the end of that shit. Never, ever, 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 ever. And like I said, Kendrick could have did worse, because I just know Kendrick actually knows something, why he won't put smoke to his name. And then what about the people that's in Drake's camp threatening to kill Kendrick? Ain't nobody said nothing about that.
Nobody will.
So like, bro, chill the fuck out. Yeah, that, I think that's the Dunn Lemon thing. Again, shout out to Joanne Reed. I hope somebody picks her up, or I hope she's got enough of a following to where she can still continue to tell the news. Like, this whole, and we finna bleep these mofos' names out because we don't say them here, but this whole in this bullshit they're pulling in this DEI shit that they're pulling and getting rid of people who are more than like worthy and more than capable, even more so than some of their other people.
Yeah. Replacing them with people who aren't as qualified.
Not even nearly. Not even close. It's like not even remotely close. So it's just like they still have their platform and they still are educating people. Shout out to Jasmine Crockett, always. My fellow AOC. Texan up there in Dallas telling people to go fuck off. Love that. I'm going to need y'all to be a bit bolder, though, because, like, they just doing shit, and I need y'all to – y'all represent us. You know what I'm saying? So, like, grow a pair and figure some shit out. Let's not make – because not all the Republicans are Trump Republicans. So I am very sure y'all can come together to start nipping some shit in the bud.
The only reason I'm going to fight on that, I don't think that there is a difference between – Trump Republicans and regular Republicans anymore, because whenever they vote on something now, it seems like there's no opposition and all of the Republicans are voting in favor. So I don't know what's happening there. I would love to think that all of y'all aren't, but apparently if you're not, you're scared to stick out.
And that's what I guess I sort of get it,
but
I don't.
No, you gotta stick out, because this is a little bit more pressing than anything else that's happened so far. So,
like, stick out, be, you know, because a lot of this just comes down to this whole, you know, pull yourself up by the boots and all this other bullshit. And it's so many other moving pieces that I think we ended up doing away with the, or maybe it's still on the docket somewhere. I don't know. The American Dream episode, because, like, how that is not even
on there.
Remotely close to being a real thing, especially if you're a minority or other in any kind of way. But even now, middle-class white people don't have that same accessibility anymore because of the millionaires and billionaires who are sucking the economy dry. So, like...
And making you think that it somehow benefits you, which is crazy. Like...
People love
y'all
to be dumb.
To tell people to go read, but apparently y'all can't.
People love to be dumb.
But yeah.
Ignorance is bliss until being bliss is pure ignorance. Delusional is okay, but then you got to come back to reality sometimes. Like, girl, shit's not great. It's not great.
And I love to live in my delusion. I didn't even have to come up out of mine to be here. So we need to fix something so I can go back to living in my delusion again. Because it's not safe to be in delusion right now.
It's really not. Yes. It's really not. You'd be in delusion and next thing you know, you're in jail. What the fuck am I in jail? You're gay, bitch. What? Y'all criminalized that again?
Right. Like, what kind of world do we live in? It's not even safe to live in your own fairy tale anymore. I can't even live in my own head peacefully no more because of the shit that's actually happening in real life.
It's not great.
Fuck, it's still fuck all of y'all people, actually. I hate you.
What up?
With every fiber of my being.
Big deal, but though, too.
Child, we've been yapping for like a whole hour.
We're yappers. So, we are indeed yappers. We're old yappers, but we're yappers nonetheless.
That is true. So let's get into this topic. I don't think we're going to have a lot of time left afterwards. But let's get into the main topic of today, which is breaking generational curses. Generational traumas or curses. So when you say a generational curse, for me, what that means is like a pattern of repeated behavior that isn't productive, that may actually be destructive to you as a person or your family as a whole. What does that mean exactly to you?
Yeah, so mine is very similar. I look at it as something that I have this quote that I created a while back ago, and I love it. And it's something I say all the time, and I say, history doesn't repeat itself, behavior does. When I think about generational curses or generational trauma, I think about that statement. I think about it simply because a lot of this stuff is learned behaviors and we just have accepted it. And then we just don't ever do anything about it. And then it just continues to trickle down. You know, you see, you know, well, my grandmother did it. My mother did it. Now I'm doing it. And then you, even if you don't like it, you're still inadvertently passing it over to your kids, because there's parts of you that just do it because that's what you do, versus saying, okay, you know what, this is going to be difficult, or I'm not going to like how this makes me feel, and just not do it. So that's what I think of when I think of like generational curses, as the old folk call it, say, you know, or old folk call it and say, and, but I, by modern terms, I just call it generational trauma, because it's just like passing down things that don't
need
benefit
to be.
You or, yeah, you know, they hinder your growth in some way.
Exactly. And I kind of want to applaud you, because you are one of the few people I know that like soft parent. And the excuse you get for people, from people that do still whoop their kids, I'm not saying it's terrible to whoop your kids or not. Whatever you choose to do is whatever you choose to do. But you're one of the few that I know that choose not to whoop your kids. And when you explained why, I was like, okay, this makes perfect sense. You don't have to whoop your kids just because you got your ass beat every other Sunday for being a terrible little human being, like most kids are. Kids are actually fucking terrible, demonic ass little gremlin creatures that run around that have to be taught how to be good people. But I do think it's another way, especially by watching you, to teach them how to be good people without like putting your hands on them. But a lot of stuff that we see is like, the only reason for it still existing is, well, it happened to me. Look how I turned out. I turned out fine. They beat my ass all the time. I don't think it turned out fine. Look at, you're okay. You're still here, but you need a hug? Are you okay?
And here's the biggest part to that, friend. How much did it actually stop you from doing?
A lot.
And see, that's the thing. I think it comes down to the person. So, one of the reasons that I guess, you know, everybody nowadays call it soft parenting, but I guess for me, it's just like, because I fuss at my child and I get upset with my child. I'm a human. I have emotions.
That's human.
Mm-hmm. But it's something about whooping a child. First of all, if anybody need their head knocked between a washer, it's adults. Adults do know better.
Yeah.
A child is, I don't think children are bad. Well, I knew that was children are bad. But I also look at like their surroundings, their settings. Why is this child acting this way? Are you taking the proper time out to care for your child as another human being? I think one of the biggest issues is that people who should not be parents are parents.
Girl.
And I know that's going to bother some people. That may offend some people. And I promise you, I'm not saying this from an ugly place. I'm saying this from an honest place. Because when I had my daughter, I was not ready to be a parent. I was very young. I found out I was pregnant when I was 16. I had her when I was 17. My child is grown. Like, it's funny when I talk to people and they're like, oh, girl, I thought she was in your early 30s. You got a grown child? It's like, yeah, my baby is 19. My baby will be 20 in a couple of months. So I was raised alongside with my child. But the thing is, children are constantly developing and learning and understanding. This is the time to mold and shape. So, like, you can explain things better to a child at this point. Some children, yeah, they may require a little bit more attention. You know, they may be more hyperactive. They may find something that works better for them versus putting your hands on them. And I say that because it's something about whooping that just seems slavish to me. Like, it's like, okay, you won't do what I want you to do, so now I'm going to, like, let me put it in this, because normally when I say this, this kind of triggers people, but this is what it is. So it's basically saying, I'm going to hurt you if you don't do what I told you to do. People don't like hearing it that way, but that's exactly what it is. Like, I'm that going is. To hurt you for not doing what I told you to do, versus I'm going to teach you why you shouldn't have done what you did and why this is the correct way to do it. And then reprimanding them. And the thing is, excuse me, a lot of these younger people, especially from my daughter's generation and up, they're what you call iPad kids and kids of the technological era. So you can take phones away. You can take iPad. That's going to hurt them way more being isolated.
They're going to fall, slap the hell out.
Exactly.
Like a vampire in the sunlight.
Versus putting your hands on them. It's just something that's very violent about it that, for me, I can't get off into. Luckily, my mom didn't, like, whoop us like that. Now, she did knock the shit out of me a couple of times, but that's another story. Like, I had got bold. Like, I was big, and I was like, girl, if you jump at me, I'm going to jump on you. And I did. I tried her, and she quickly
put that ancestral strength behind you.
It's something about adult strength that hits different. I don't know what it is. It's like, and now at my age, I understand, because it's like, I done been through too much shit for you to try me like that. I will actually fuck you up. I will forget you mine for just a second and put you through this goddamn wall. But yeah, it's something about it that it's just like, pull yourself out and understand that you're teaching another human being something that is important. And yeah, you can maneuver better that way. You feel better about yourself when you know you didn't just like, I got to knock you out for you to understand something. I mean, even the same thing applies when you see abusive relationships. Look at how abusive relationships typically work, especially like these older ones. Like, oh, the woman didn't do what I told her to do, so now I'm going to beat your ass so you understand. But it's the same thing. And you're whooping someone who's defenseless. That's what makes it worse. A child is defenseless. Like, you putting your hands on another adult, you put your hands on them a couple of times, they might knock your ass back out. You know what I'm saying? And Anime had to whoop Ike's ass for him to understand that this wasn't a game no more. So, like, that's me on the soft parenting thing, but, like,
I completely emasculated him, actually. Whooped his ass, then took his last name in the divorce.
That was loved great. It for her.
No, Anime, that's my last name. All right?
No. Love that for her. Love that for her.
The nigga had hatred in his heart for the rest of his days. But going on like a little bit further about the subject, I also think that thinking of this in a different way kind of helps you have a little bit more grace for certain people in certain circumstances. Like you mentioned earlier, the pull yourself up by the bootstrap thing. That's a saying that irritates the fuck out of me just because I know where, like, I came from. And while right. I feel like I had great parents and I was lucky to be in the circumstance that I was in as a child, I also got to witness a lot of people who were not in that situation. When you talk about, like, families who are impoverished, people who have lived in the projects, and this is generations of people I'm talking about that have lived in the projects. They great grandmama, they grandmama, they mama live in the projects. Now them, what I believe this is more of a like a belief cycle thing where you're thinking that there's nothing better because all you've seen is this thing. So there's nothing to even tell certain people that there's something else out there for them that they can attain. I honestly feel like some people feel like they can't attain certain things because they haven't seen it physically anyone near them.
And then you also have outside sources to that. So this is my issue with that statement. So it's one thing to say that, and this ties into the generational, you know, curses and trauma by, you know, how do I want to word this? So you have the element of you have this piece of like, this is all I know and I'll never be better than this. But then you also have this other side of a certain group of people telling you that, yeah, you're right. You'll never be better than this.
And so, do everything in their power to make sure that that's true.
Exactly. So it's like there's this double hand punch that you're getting. So it's not, you know, they tell black people, oh, you can be a rapper, you can be a basketball player, you can be a football player, some sort of athlete, but the moment that a black person becomes a politician. We saw this in real time just a few months ago, because there's mm-hmm. not anybody on Redacted's campaign that is smarter than Kamala in any fucking degree.
Child.
And they attacked her intelligence every single chance they got.
There is nobody on that side of the aisle that compares to that amount of intelligence and experience. Not one person.
Not one. But we saw what they did. We saw, you know, we see anytime a black person tries to become a doctor or anything that requires any standard intelligence, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that person that goes above and beyond, they have to be questioned. You're not good enough. We look at this whole, we just finished talking about the whole DEI thing. Like, these people are more than qualified. They're more than capable, more so yes. capable than the people that are in the positions now that you just recently gave it to. But mm-hmm. because they're black or because they're other or because they're, this only means they had to work twice as hard as you. So they're twice what you are because they mm-hmm. had to work through so many hurdles and obstacles to get here. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't like that whole, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstrap and how it affects, because while I do believe a lot of black poverty is generational, there's so many moving parts to that, right?
So many moving parts. And another thing I want to say is that love to bring up the fact that on paper, it looks like you've had the same opportunities that they have. This is on paper. Ain't of course, you had the opportunity to go to school, but what was your home life like when you got out? What type of things did you have to deal with while you were in school because you are who you are and you were in the circumstances that you were in? There's a lot of shit that makes that whole thing null and void. Of course, we may have on paper had the exact same circumstances on paper. Of course, I had the opportunity to go to school, but this person didn't deal with what this person dealt with, both in school and out of school. There's a whole, like you were saying, a whole lot of moving parts. Environment, racism, favoritism, all of that shit plays a part into why somebody may not succeed. And without like the mental fortitude or having somebody there to encourage you through all of that, which a lot of people don't have, especially when you're in bad, impoverished situations, What is going to make you a better person other than a miracle, other than you being the one out of 1,000 people that ran into the specific person at a specific point in time that changed your life?
It's willpower. And that's mm-hmm. that is literally the topic of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Breaking generational curses. What you have to understand is, or breaking generational trauma. The first thing that you have to understand is discipline and willpower. You're also going to have to understand that when you start making certain strides and certain changes and unlearning things, the people who taught you these things may not always fall in line with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you come into your own realization and you saying, you know what, I don't want this to be my story. People may not like that because, oh, you think you're better than me, or oh, you think this, or you, that's going to come with
thing.
It.
That's the thing, friend. I feel like the very first step is you have to realize that something is wrong. And right. I think the part with realizing something is wrong is you being around a whole bunch of people that also don't see a problem with what's happening.
Yep.
Like, I feel like that's the hardest thing to get out of until you do meet that person that's like, and you're like, you know what? Oh, shit. It really doesn't have to be like this. Like, I actually have the power to change some of this. Then I can start working on what I need to work on.
Yeah, I think it's the point to where you have to remind yourself, like, I see other people doing it. Was for me, it was certain people in school. It was, I think that was like the first time, because, you know, I grew up in the hood both ways. We got Lakeview on one end and the bottom in the other. Like, literally one side of my family's from the east side, the other side of my family's from the west side. That's what I saw. That's mm-hmm. all I saw. So it comes to this place of like, okay, this is what I know. This is what it is. And then when I went to school, I saw other people who look like me, other black people. I was like, oh, damn, they got nice clothes, nice shoes, nice this. How are they? What is this? And I think that was the first realization that I had, even as a small child, like, oh, we're not all, we're the same, but we're not the same. So mm-hmm. what's that thing that's different? And also, it, you know, how something made you feel is a big thing too. Like, I'm not going to say anything negative about anyone who raised me, but my family was poor. If you know my story personally, you know how poor I actually grew up. Like, we grew up like real deal poor. I don't know where I'm going to lay my head tonight. Are we going to sleep in a car? Or are we going to sleep outside poor? Plenty of hungry nights. And I know you can't tell now because I'm a behemoth whale, but trust me.
Shut your ass.
that's what it was. So, and some of that has to do with my discipline issues now, because I lack so much growing up. Now, as an adult, I can not tell myself no, and then I don't know how to always not tell myself no when I need to. But that's another conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. How something made you feel. So, like, my daughter can't say she went through half the shit, a third, a quarter of the stuff that I've been through, hell, a tenth. Because I made sure she wouldn't. And I just knew I didn't want her to feel how I felt growing up. And I think that's another thing that you have to take into consideration when you're putting forth effort to change something and change something significantly. Why am I changing this? Most likely because of something of how that thing made you feel. You don't want to continue to feel this way, or you don't want to ever feel this way again, or you don't want a loved one to feel this way. You come to the realization, I can prevent this. I don't want this. One of the things that I think, and I talking about like generational trauma and curses, because we have an episode coming up in some months on epigenetics. And when I found out about epigenetics and how it works, that shit blew my mind, and it's such a cool topic. And I have really been studying this because I really want to dive deep into it, but I can kind of tap lightly into it now because a lot of this comes down to, again, things that made you feel a certain way and unlearning. You know, you have a, what is it, nature versus nurture. You know, things that you just are versus things that you've been taught. And it's just like, one of the hardest things I feel like is the nature of it all. I'm sorry, not the nature, but the nurture of it all. Being taught certain things, because something being in you, you can, how do I want to word this? Something in me clicked that I knew that I didn't care anymore if people knew I was gay, right? I was like, it just is what it is. On the nurture side of that, it's where it's like, okay, but what about this? I don't want to really do public affection because of, you know, I was raised like this and I know how people see this. So like, unlearning things is probably the, in my opinion, the hardest part of breaking any type 100%. Of generational trauma. Because this is just what it is.
And what we know it to be.
Right. Me and when we were having that conversation, going back to the pink toys again for boys. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, and you were talking about it. And you said, you know, I don't think I would just because of like, and it's just
how my mind is working, even though I know that this doesn't have anything to do with anything. The color pink is just the color pink.
Right.
But in my head, because of how we were raised and everything that we grew up around, pink is a girl's color. That's a feminine color. And boys don't play with pink,
right?
Pink things.
And it's that unlearning. It's that unlearning. That unlearning is the part that whoops your ass the most. And I think one of the biggest generational traumas that black people face is mental illness. And not just mental illness, but just like trauma. I don't care what anybody says. All black people, especially if you're from the South, really anywhere in the damn United States, we suffer from some form of PTSD.
Friend, and my next question was actually going to be, what do you think one of the biggest things that, like, one of the biggest generational curses black people deal with? Okay. And it sounds like we both had the exact same answer. Mine is mental illness, and you know the next part. When something's wrong, where do you go, and what do?
Go ahead, friend. Y'all, this episode might be a few minutes long.
You go to church and you pray. I think that is like the biggest, honestly, and I know some people are super religious. I ain't. I feel like the church is one of the greatest negative forces in the black community that ever did exist. Only because it's a place, it's supposed to be a place of hope and where you go to get the word and to feel better. Which it works out that way for a lot of people. It does. On the other hand, church is a place to shame you. Church is not necessarily, and this is from like some of my own personal experience, not necessarily a safe place for you to go to tell somebody you having mental problems and they tell you you might actually need to go see a specialist. They just gonna tell you to give it to God. Now, when you go and give it to God and you go home and hit somebody in the back of the head with a hammer, all they're going to do is talk about you on Sunday and you're in the news. That is all that's going to happen because you went and prayed it. You prayed it away. You prayed that hammer into your hand and now somebody is no longer here because of what you did.
Okay. We don't have this conversation tonight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So... mental illness, we're going to tie it all in together, y'all. Y'all know I am a yapper, so I'm going to try to keep it cute. But I have very mixed feelings on religion. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. There are some Christian things that are attached to me. I'll tell you anybway, I love the story of Jesus. It's his daddy I didn't care too much for. God in the Bible was just not great a lot of the times. Actually, a bunch of times. And even the Bible in general. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all can say what you want to. And I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off. I'm not even going to play that game. You're not going to tell me that people who have been people and people have motives and have always had motives. And we see even the people who have motives today, these same people had motives back then that wrote the Bible. They didn't have, you're just not going to tell me they didn't have motives and didn't have ill intent. We can get rid of that.
Didn't have the will to control.
Right. That shit's not going to fly here.
When I think of church, all I think of is control, a control mechanism.
Okay. So, and then there's elements to that too, right? So, and something about the pray it away bothers me spiritually. And I'm not going to elaborate too much, but what I will say is there's been this terminology brought up recently. I've heard it a lot in like the last 2 years of spiritual psychosis. If you are around truly hyper-religious people, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. And that's all I'm going to say. That's one of the things that I had to personally unlearn. Mental health isn't demonic, okay? You're not demonic because you suffer from depression. You're not demonic because you suffer from anxiety. You're not demonic because you suffer from bipolarism, from multiple personality disorder, from schizophrenia. You didn't do anything to deserve this, okay? We as a community have to stop that. Mm-hmm. Also, shunning people who decide to get mental health and to talk to other people. I'll tell anybody, and Atticus has said this before, it's the reason he got into therapy because of how hard I advocate for it. Therapy has saved my life. I suffer from severe depression and anxiety. Like, my shit is not a game. It has almost taken me out of here a few times. And I'm talking about the brightest of days, having a great day, and then shit just chipping at you. You ain't shit. You ain't never going to be shit. People don't want to be around you. Don't nobody like you. Like, this is things that I'm hearing in my mind. And it's like, I know people love and care about me. Depression will eat your ass up. And to sit there and say that, oh, this is a demonic entity, pisses me off to, I'm talking, my God, today. Okay. Like, makes me actually viscerally sick on the stomach. Like, it makes me want to punch somebody.
I think that's actually where the saying, you know, every time something bad happened, they'd be like, that's the goddamn devil. I'll be the first to say that the goddamn devil is like one of my favorite things to say when something bad happens. But I think,
and it be us who be the devil.
Mm-hmm.
It be us who be the devil. Okay, so I'm gonna drop this bomb on y'all. This is definitely gonna get some mixed. I think even Atticus may have some mixed feelings about this. I don't know what happens after death. None of us do, right? But like, I genuinely don't know. I don't think heaven and hell is a real thing. I don't know if reincarnation is a real thing. There's a part of me that just thinks, once this is it, we rest. That's it. Our energy disperses back into the universe, and that's it. Curtains closed, blackout done. Here's where it gets technical for me. I think that people created religion, afterlife, the theory thereof, to cope with the fact that if we don't fulfill our destinies while we're alive, then at least we have something to fall back on. I've never said that out loud. That's always been a thought in my mind. But sometimes I think about that. Like, it just became this thing that we created. And again, I agree with Atticus 100%. It is also a very controlling, and I'm talking not just Christianity, because I'm not just going to shit on Christianity. All religions. All of them are. The control, it is, I don't think people were meant to be here to be controlled. One of my favorite sayings is, I hate the cost of living. Like, I hate that phrase. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean the cost? I got to pay to be fucking alive. I didn't ask to be here.
Right. But y'all could have left me where I was at.
Right. And it's just like, all these rules put in place, and how much do they actually benefit us? I feel like the reason that people are suffering the way we're suffering nowadays is because everything that's being created today is going against the very grain of who we are as humans. Like, it is going against our humanity, and that's why it feels uncomfortable and it feels unnatural, because this isn't what it should be. This isn't the way people... I thought about this earlier too, friend. I was like, I was on my way home too, and I was like, I hate working 5 days a week just to get to the weekend or whatever days you have off. And like, and then you have to do rest, other adult back. Things. You rest if you can, and then you do it all over again. And then you're 75. Mm-hmm. And then they say, okay, you have 5 years to do whatever, because you're probably going to die at 80. And then you die at 77 because you've also worked your entire life and you've worn your body down. And it's just like, this isn't the way things are going. This is not fit for human conditioning. Like, this isn't what it should be. And that's another thing. And that's not like a family generational curse or trauma. I think that's just a thing with people in general that we have to, as a society, get away from, because it's not benefiting us. It's not benefiting our health. It's not benefiting our soul. You don't get up. I don't know anybody who gets up and genuinely feels happy to exist in the world as it exists today, under the standards in which it exists today.
The only people I feel like do that are...
and not even all of them. Like,
the rich ones. I think people that do that don't feel things like normal people
right.
feel things. I don't know the exact term for that. Is that the sociopath, a psychopath. I think those people wake up happy because they don't feel anything for anybody or anything. But I have a little bit of a very little bit from what you just said. So I've never felt like after it was over, it was just curtains. And that's probably because even from like a little child, this is going to sound so weird and I don't even know how to explain it in words. But I feel temporary, like me as I know me, am inside of a body that I don't necessarily belong to. Like it's here, it's temporary, but I'm here for whatever reason that I am here. But when I'm done, something else happens to the me that is actually me. The body goes to sleep, but my perception or my consciousness doesn't exactly. And I don't know how to explain this or why I like even feel this way, but I don't feel like this is the end of everything once it's over here. I think this is like a temporary stop of places. And I don't know, bitch, this might be like a goddamn Mario game and we just keep going through different stages of like life after one ends and you not necessarily here on Earth, but in different places. I don't know how it works, but I don't necessarily feel like I am this, the body, or I am what you perceive me to be. I just kind of feel like I'm a being. I know it sounds so weird.
So it
I don't
doesn't.
Know how else to explain it, but.
And I'm gonna spin off of that because so. Yeah. The only thing that makes me think in your direction as well is deja vus. Something about a deja vu feels like I'm remembering something.
Mm-hmm.
Like people say it's a premonition or you're seeing something happen before, or I've heard people say it's like your brain tricking you because of somebody tried to explain it once. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
It
How
doesn't.
Would I remember something this specific?
That like, hasn't happened yet.
Right. Like, I didn't even know what this TV show was. How do I remember myself sitting here watching this? So, like, I wonder if we do come back over and over again until we get it right, until we be whoever we're supposed to be. That's one of my thoughts with reincarnation. So, if anything does exist, I don't think it's heaven or hell or, like, a resting place. I don't know. It could be. I don't know. But reincarnation is the one thing that I believe could exist.
I think life is like a fucking stage of Candy Crush. And if you don't get it right, you just have to keep coming back until
you get it. Yeah. And then you have the occasional people who jump in places they shouldn't be. Cause I'll never forget that story of that one little boy. That's the one story that I was like, this shit is actually crazy. Where he was like, around 4 or 5, he was having nightmares about being killed. And his mom and dad was like, the stories were so specific that they was like, is our child a psychopath? Like, why does he know these things? For real, like, they was freaking the fuck out. So they took him to a psychiatrist, therapist, counselor. They was doing everything they could with their rich white power. and then finally, they was, I think the mom was the one that broke it. She was like, okay. Because he was saying that he got killed and he was buried in the woods. And he said, I can show you where I'm buried in the woods. And finally, his mom just gave in one day. She couldn't take it anymore. She was like, okay, show me where you're buried. Fran, why did this baby? I think at the time, so like a year or two had passed by, so he might have been maybe 6. So he went from like 4 to 6. Why did this baby say, okay, go here, go here, go here? His mom does. It's a wood patch. It's a wooded area. And now she's freaking out a little bit. So she called her husband and tells him, and, you know, he's like, why would you do that? You're just, encouraging him. And da-da-da. She's like, maybe he's, let's just hear him out. Friend, this little boy was just walking him along. He said, okay, just follow me. He took him to a little area. And then it looked weird. And the dad was like, okay, y'all go back to the car. This looks weird. I'm just gonna look and see. Friend, why that man dug up bones? There was a dead body there. I got goosebumps right now from telling this story. When I tell you, that's the one story that blew my mind. Because they was like, they was doing what rich white people do. We got them therapy, psychiatry, we're doing everything. And that baby knew. He was like, no, I was murdered. I think it was in like the 80s too. He was like, I was murdered, or maybe, I don't know. It was a while back ago. He was like, I was murdered and I came back and this is this. But like, ain't no child finna know no specifics, no go northeast, then go here, go there. And they said as he got older, because I think now he's probably like a teenager, he's got to be, he doesn't remember any of it. This is also another reason I believe in like reincarnation, because kids be seeing and knowing shit too. Like, I feel like I had a lot more deja vus and premonitions as a kid than as I did as an adult.
Friend, don't think I'm crazy. I used to talk to my magnolia tree in my front yard. Don't nobody believe me. I used to talk to that tree. It was a lady in that tree.
Or it could have been a lady hung from that tree, friend.
Now, why would you do this to me and it's 10 o'clock at night?
I know it's morbid and I know it's dark. I got to find this other story from this lady. I think I told you about this story of the lady. She was a scientist. What do you call them? A botanist? The one that studies like trees plants. And plants and stuff. And she was talking about how her son wanted to go see this plantation in one of the Carolinas, I think it was. And she, you know, she's like, absolutely not. We black, we don't go. But he was like, I think you may enjoy it because of the trees. Because I want to say it was South Carolina, because one of them Carolinas, they're known for those real big, pretty trees that, like, I forgot what they're called. The ones with the stuff hanging down.
The moss hanging down?
Yes, yes.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what they call it, though.
But oh my God, it was on a podcast. I'm going to find this podcast. It's like Science Something. But the name of it was like Trees Talk. And she was talking about how trees recycle oxygen, and they recycle oxygen for like 100, 200 years, something like that, something crazy. So it was like, she came to this conclusion. She said, whatever your ancestors' last breath was is still cycling throughout this tree. Friend, blew my fucking mind. I'm gonna have to send that to you too. And I do believe you, friend. That's what I'm saying. I'm so torn with that, but like the whole religion thing, I think, because, well, I'm going to piss some people off too. Again, because I probably going to piss some people off already, but like another thing that I think about with like the whole breaking out of generational trauma, because of course religion creates a lot of trauma. A lot of trauma. Because I'm never going to argue with somebody about me being born gay. You can say I've been, well, you've been with men. You can
argue with your mama.
Sure. I have been with men. I done sucked a couple of dicks. I know that sounds crazy. I have lived my life. Okay. I can 100% say though, that's how I know I'm gay. Like I played straight. I did that. And
I don't have a little crack. I'll suck a little dick.
I literally have no problem. Atticus knows this. I'll say when a man is fine now. If you're attractive, you're attractive.
Know when somebody's attractive. I can tell you 100,000 beautiful women. There is no sexual attraction to any of them.
Listen.
They're beautiful. They are to me.
I've seen some fine white women, okay? If you, ooh, this is going to be, y'all really going to judge me. Matter of fact, I ain't even gonna say that.
If you know me, I gotta hear it now. You got to text me.
You already know this. You already know I don't dip in the other.
Oh.
So, like, yeah, I have no problem with saying. I
definitely dipped in the other. After what happened in November, I don't see it ever happening again in my life.
I have before in the past, two to be exact. Actually, three. One was a white dude. My very first kiss was a white dude. So yeah, but like as I've gotten older, and we've had this conversation before too, like I don't have the mental capacity, especially with American whites, like, cause you can be with it, you know what I'm saying? But then it's always a family member, or it's always this off moment or something. And it's just like, I can't fight with that right now.
I don't want to have to set y'all on fire.
I don't want to have to get to the point to where I feel like I have to come out of myself to do anything or get upset. And it's something when I tell you I love black women, I love us so much. I can't literally see my soulmate being anything other than a black woman. Nobody on the face of this earth knows me better than us. I just, I adore black women and I adore black men. But I mean, I'm talking sexually, spiritually, emotionally. I adore black women with every single fiber in my body. Now, I would date other like POC, but like my soulmate, I just feel in my heart is a black woman. But again, going back to the, because child, we are yappers.
We are yappers.
but so much generational trauma is due to the church and due to religion. I feel like that's one of the hardest things to unlearn, and how that ties in with mental health. Like Eddie he said it perfectly, and it pisses me off so bad. These aren't demons that you can pray away. And we have to have that conversation. And if that conversation isn't a real thing, then you have to do what's best for you and your loved ones. I don't even argue with people when they say stuff like that anymore. They be trying to prove their point. I'm like, baby, you can keep it. You're not budging me. I'm grown and I have good sense now. And I know 1 + 1 = 2. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid anymore.
Right. And I'm not saying that y'all are terrible people, because a lot of you are there for the right reasons and doing the Lord's work.
And a lot of them are good people.
A lot of them are really good people. On that same token, I have met a lot of terrible, shitty, fucking Christian people.
Heathens.
Who use that whole thing
as a scapegoat to be evil. Terrible.
Yes, they use it as a scapegoat to be terrible. So, yeah, you definitely ain't gonna budge me. And if you try, bitch, I'm gonna block you. Because you're probably one of those terrible ass people.
What old boy say? And Kim, I ain't been like you in a long time anyway.
Right.
One of the messiest, meanest Christians I know. Right. God gave you that beautiful voice, and you are the damn devil. Every time I see you, you doing some terrible, terrible shit. You saying some terrible shit. You know, the funny thing is, if heaven and hell is real, a lot of y'all Christians ain't finna make it to heaven. Y'all gonna get stopped at the door.
And I don't know how you think.
Clown door just gonna open up and you just gonna fall through that bitch. You gonna be sitting there riding that pole just like Lil Nas X down to the bottom.
Call me by my name.
Beelzebub.
Welcome to hell. I've been waiting for you.
Bitch, I just pooted.
I'm just saying that a lot of y'all ain't finna make it. Y'all think y'all gonna make it. Y'all ain't finna make it.
I don't even know if they think that. But they be making me want to say terrible stuff too. And I don't be wanting to disrespect people's religion. But if there's anything that you could call the devil, it's what I'm thinking of saying about you and your Lord at this point in time. If you don't get the fuck out of my face.
You can have it.
Okay, this child of church is a whole thing in itself.
Yeah,
I would have to do a whole episode on that.
We already
went over our damn, went over the damn time.
Well, we give ourselves 1 hour and 30 minutes, so we're not too bad over. We're like 10 minutes over, but in conclusion, for myself, when I think of generational curses and generational trauma, I think it comes down to discipline. I think it comes down to acknowledging, A, there's a problem. Two, this problem is going to be a hard problem to deal with because I've seen so many people do it, but I know I don't want to see the same results that they have. So I have to do something to actively pursue a different outcome. And that's not easy. That's not easy. It's not fun. And like I said, sometimes people won't root for you because you're doing something way out of their norm. But you have to remember you're here for you, and their norm doesn't have to be your norm. And if you want to do better, you have to make yourself do better. I've broken a lot of generational curses, and I'm in therapy now, continuing to like be better than I was, so I can, or be better than I was and what I've seen in the past, so I can continue to put forth good things into my daughter and to the people around me, and just like show people that I want to grow and that I want to be a better person. And that I'm not willing to settle. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to blame. There's things that I can't change, and there's things that I can change. So I'll sum it up there. And the things that I can change, I want to put forth the active willpower to do so. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everyone has to do in order to break cycles and get out of something and create something new. Because that's the thing, when you break something and you get out of that, you know, my daughter, if she decides to have kids or not, if she does, she'll pass those teachings on. She may pass the teachings on to other people, you know, that she knows. The soft parenting and all that other stuff. But I think it's just acknowledging there's a problem and wanting to actively fix it. So that's it for me on it. What about you, Fran?
I wholly agree with that. Acknowledging the problem, I think, is the hardest part when you're stuck in a situation like that. But when you do finally acknowledge it and have the willpower to change it, I think it's going to come with you needing to accept the fact that you might be somewhat ostracized or critiqued for attempting to change. And like you were saying earlier, people thinking that you are, that you're changing and that you think you're better than them. And it's not necessarily that you think you're better than them, but you are changing and you realize that you're better than the situation. Yeah. And you're doing what you can to change the situation. So I would just kind of say you have to be okay with not being in contact with certain people or not doing some of those same things that you like to do before, because you're trying to be better than the situation at hand. So that's pretty much all I got for that. But they can and they will be broken as time goes on. And I honestly believe the more we're exposed to everything, I think a lot of the thing that kept us locked into some generational curses is not being able to see a whole lot of outside perspective. But I think now with the internet around, there you can't really keep anybody from anything that they want to see. And even if you don't want to see it, but you're going to run into it at some point in time.
At some point.
So I think there's a lot of, as time goes on, it's going to get a lot better. And we'll finally reach a point where it's not as big of a conversation. It may take a few hundred years, but we're going to get there.
100 years? Bitch, we'll be you lucky if we see next year. I know this.
Come save us.
Ciao. God looking down right now. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved.
I do want to be saved. Please save me.
All right, y'all.
If you're not going to save me, give me like a time frame so something. I can at least stop going to work.
So I can enjoy my damn life.
Yeah, just let me enjoy the last few days, however long we got. But okay, y'all. Thank y'all for listening to us again. As always, come join us in the Discord. And we will see y'all next time.
Until next time. Peace.
Bye.